truth. How many of you seek to teach your children to speak truth? Yeah, I think we all do. It's something that we desire in ourselves, we desire with our spouses, we desire for our children to learn. Now, here's part of the irony of truth, which is absolutely a part of integrity. Because when we don't speak truth, it begins to erode our trust and our confidence in others. If we're a person that embellishes the truth or stretches it out, we have trouble trusting. And it's a complex world we live in. Sometimes we don't tell all of the truth. We have to be discerning about what we share. And you know that as a parent. There are things sometimes that our children aren't quite ready for, or we think they're not. And so we sometimes struggle a bit with what is truth and how to share truth. The amazing thing to me is all of us come into this world as children pretty much truth speakers. I came across an interesting list with the intriguing title called Great Truths About Life That Little Children Have Learned. Now think about this. A child comes in the world, they observe what's around them, and they kind of name it as they see it. Listen, a great truth about life that little children have learned: no matter how hard you try, you cannot baptize a cat. I love this one. When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. Never ask your three-year-old brother to hold a tomato or an egg. And this one is so true. You cannot trust dogs to watch your food for you. Do not sneeze when somebody is cutting your hair. I think my son said this one. School lunches stick to the wall. You cannot hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. Lastly, never, these are truth speakers, never wear polka dot underwear under white shorts, no matter how cute the underwear is. Kids say it as they see it. So how do we, and all of us were kids at one point, we didn't just blop into the world as adults, how do we miss speaking truth? Well, along the way, I think there are a couple ways. Along the way, you know, we observe. And as we observe what we see, sometimes we observe people not speaking truth. We observe people covering up. Or we hear our mom telling a friend something that we know is not the truth. We observe people and what they do. We begin to move towards not always speaking the truth, often in the face of fear. Okay. The lamp is broken. Who broke it? Not me. Not me. In the face of fear, we'll move into not telling the truth. As children and adults, we move into dishonesty sometimes and not speaking truth out of greed. Because we want something, and so we don't quite tell the truth. Integrity is huge, huge in our lives. That what we say, we can stand behind. Truth is crucial. So as we study Elijah today, I want you to do something with me. If you have your Bible with you, open it up. If there's a Bible in your pew, open it up, because I'm going to share the scripture and we're going to preach our way through. I'd like you to open up to 1 Kings. It's in the Old Testament. The 18th chapter. Now, my Bible's a little beat up here, but it's about that far into the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 18 and move to the 17th verse, and then don't close up your Bible because we're going to work with it a bit. Let me give you a little context as we begin. Because Elijah, who is one of the prophets of the Old Testament, was a prophet during the reign of King Ahab, and his wife, anybody know who King Ahab's wife was? Jezebel! Now, even if we don't know much about the Old Testament, most of us have heard of Jezebel. I don't want to be a Jezebel. Jezebel was King Ahab's wife, and they were in power in Israel. And King Ahab was the king over the people of Israel who love God. It was really interesting. If you were in Sunday school this morning, someone I'm very fond of, Jim Browning, led us in looking at families and generations and how the generations of our family impact us. Would generations of faith impact us? And the Israelites, the Hebrew people, much of the Old Testament is a journey to understanding God and God's word, the truth of God and their love of God. And Elijah was prophet during a time where Jezebel was a great worshiper of Baal and the gods of Baal, not the one God, the one true God, the God of Israel, the God of us all. And so Elijah has been trying to speak and preach and teach the people of Israel and remind them of their love of God. He's a bold man. I don't think he was a very tactful man. He spoke it as he saw it. And we come to verse 17. When King Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" Well, that's where we're going to stop first of all. Because when we speak truth, there are times we are perceived as a troubler, a maker of trouble. We learn from Elijah that speaking the truth, we have to have enough conviction behind us to have enough courage to speak God's truth. Elijah answers in verse 18, and he's talking to King Ahab, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have." He's calling it like he sees it. "And your father's house, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed Baal, the Baals. Now, therefore, send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table." We have a little contest. I call this kind of the first great outdoor barbecue of the Bible. But he's gathering the people together, and he's going to just put it on the line. And let's look at those who are worshiping false gods and the one true God. That takes a lot of courage to do. One man against 850 prophets, priests, plus the crowds. And what we learn with Elijah is truth is not to be determined by a majority. If it was, the God of Baal would won that day. Speaking the facts, speaking truth, is very, very difficult. There are times in your life and there are times in my life where we know we're in a situation that we struggle with what to say and how much truth to speak. And sometimes we struggle with discerning what is truth. When we are clear, it is not an easy thing to do. And I want you to hear that with me. I understand that. That's true in my life. It's true in my life as a mother, as a wife, as a friend, as a pastor. It's hard because sometimes we know that what we say will hurt people. We know sometimes it will make people angry at us. Sometimes the truth that we need to speak is not truth that the person wants to hear. Sometimes the person we need to speak truth to is a person in power. Now, power is authority, it's control, it's influence, it's muscle, if you will. Elijah was speaking to a king. That's power. That's power. It's so important that we understand, though, that truth, when it's God's truth, needs to be spoken. And that's what Elijah does. He's undergirded in his relationship with God. He's put his life out there, and literally he puts his life on the line to proclaim his God in the face of worship of a whole lot of other stuff. Boy, doesn't that sound like somewhat of where we live today? The Old Testament was a long time ago, but there's a parallel here for us in our society. When we use power for good, that's one thing. But power can be corrupted. All power can be corrupted, and the misuse of power is sin. The misuse of power is damaging. Sometimes the truth feels damaging, but the misuse of power, absolute power, I believe is always damaging. Power has to be undergirded by the power of God. By the power of God. And that's part of our discernment of how we understand where truth is. Continuing on in our scripture. So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel, and he gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people, and he says to all these people, and I want you to get this image. Here is a priest, prophet, who's before this huge mass of his congregation that are not worshiping God, and he says, "How long will you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is your Lord, then follow him." You've got to make a decision. And this verse just cuts me. And the people did not answer him a word. They were quiet. They were quiet. My guess at some level that had to have been disheartening to Elijah. We continue on. Then Elijah said to the people, "I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord." He stands alone. "But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood. But put no fire to it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. And you will call on the name of your God, and then I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God." Well, boy, is that a trusting man. That is one trusting man. And that's what happens. And you read this. You know where it is in the Bible. Go home, and it's an absolutely fascinating story. Because what happens is the prophets of Baal stack up their wood. They build this great altar. Now, you remember in Old Testament times, this is before New Testament. Old Testament times, sacrifices were part, often, of the worship of God, of the gods. So they built this huge altar with all this wood, and then they proceed to call upon the gods of Baal. And it says, they took the bull which was given from him, they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped about the altar which they had made. At noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he is a god. He is either musing or has gone aside, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be wakened. And they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one heeded. And then Elijah, and I love this. You remember, these are people who have gone away from God. They've gone away from him. And Elijah takes, the altar had been destroyed, and he takes stones, 12 stones. What do you think the 12 stones are for? The 12 what? Tribes of Israel. And he places these 12 stones. I mean, it just breaks my heart if our altar was destroyed. He rebuilds the altar of the Lord, and he lays upon it wood and the side of beef. And it doesn't say it quite like that, but that's how we'll understand it. He lays upon the wood, and then he says, and I just love this, if you go down to somewhere around verse 33, fill four jars of water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And then he says, do it a second time, and they did it a second time. And then he says, do it a third time, and they did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. You ever tried to light a fire with wet wood? I mean, he's kept making it pretty hard. And the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, the generations of my God, God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear that. If we are to speak the truth, we've got to get on our knees and be clear, as clear as we can, that this is God's word. And that's what Elijah says. And then he says, answer me, O Lord. Answer me that this people may know that thou, O Lord, art God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back. He loves his people. He wants his people to love God. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, and I'm going to read this and then I want you to repeat it back with me. The Lord, he is God. 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 Wow. Wow. When we speak truth, and when we're speaking to glorify God, God will answer. God will answer. It may not be in our timing. It may not be in ways we completely understand, but God is faithful. God is faithful. Now, I want to speak with you about the rest of the story. Because you and I both know, when it takes so much to speak truth, there's often a cost in that. It's hard. People can get angry with us. People can be disappointed in us. People may not understand. Seeds may be planted, but it may take a long time for those seeds to be understood and to be reaped. What happened to Elijah is Jezebel was not a happy camper. And she sent her guards after Elijah. And he literally runs for his life. He flees. And the scriptures tell us he runs and he runs and he runs until he collapses under a juniper tree. It's a little shrub bush. A little tiny tree. And he collapses under the juniper tree. And the scripture, take your Bible home, keep reading tonight. But what he does when he collapses under that juniper tree, he is spent. He's human. And he has done the best job he can do, and he is wiped out. Last week I talked with you and we prayed for clergy in this conference. Because I spent Saturday morning, I never got but 10 feet into the conference floor talking with clergy who have tried their best to proclaim. And sometimes they get hit and hit and hit by people who aren't so understanding or receptive. All of us, clergy, those of us in our families, there's a cost to speaking truth. And for Elijah, when I say he literally put his life on the line, he did. And the scripture is so beautiful. These words of the scripture that we need to put in our hearts and just let them grow. The scripture says that as he collapses under this juniper tree, the angel of the Lord comes to him. And the angel of the Lord, I just love this. What do you think the angel says to him? It's not a pep talk. He tells him to sleep and to eat. To sleep and to eat. To sleep and to eat. He's got to get replenished. He's a very human person. How many of you, when you have something that you're struggling with, and how do I say what I need to say, have trouble sleeping at night? Or you wake up in the middle of the night. Is this the right thing? Or after it's been done, is this the right thing? Did I do the right thing? That's Elijah. And he's burned out. He's spent. And the wisdom of the scriptures, and we are to remember it, we are to be renewed. Sleep, eat, sleep, eat, sleep, eat. And then he goes to seek God. But the Lord was not in the wind. And the Lord was not in the earthquake. And the Lord was not in the fire. Do you remember how the Lord comes to Elijah? In a still, small, quiet voice. We have to quiet ourselves enough to hear what God needs us to say, to undergird our convictions of where we need to stand, the truth that we need to stand on. And it's bookended in prayer. We have to take ourselves back to our knees, clear away the clutter from our lives, and hear God's voice. Power sometimes doesn't get quiet enough for us to be listened to or to hear. A huge difference for me in the Old Testament and the New Testament is that through Christ, we understand that we are not left alone, that the Holy Spirit is a gift to each of us to fill us and renew us and move us forward. But we have to be quiet enough to receive that Spirit, to recognize the Spirit of God in our midst. Tough decisions, tough choices. But you and I, as Christians, are committed in integrity to understanding and living out of the truth of God. Let us pray. Holy Father, we, your people, this day seek your wisdom and your mercy. We seek your truth. There are times, God, we know that being religious just isn't good enough, that we must safeguard your truth, that we must be in relationship with you, where your truth is upheld. O Lord, as we examine our living, nudge us in those areas that need to be empowered, not only through the ancient words of our scriptures, but our personal experience of how good you are to us, your people. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.